You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio from South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, December 3rd, 2018.
I want to go ahead and enter the political arena. I'm going to launch an exploratory commission to look into running for city council.
You?
Yes, city council at large.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Vox Booker, Bloomington's Black Lives Matter spokesperson, on today's edition of Big Talk Extra with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Jim Roosey talks about the First Presbyterian Church's volunteerism with the Area 10 Agency on Aging's food pantry. That coming up on Activate. But first, your daily headlines.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton will seek re-election in 2019. Hamilton is expected to formally announce he will seek a second term as Bloomington's mayor. Tomorrow, John Hamilton for mayor will hold a campaign launch party at the Monroe County Democratic headquarters in Bloomington. Hamilton is the Democratic incumbent, first-term mayor of Bloomington. His announcement that he will seek re-election comes after Monroe County Board of Commissioners President Amanda Barge announced her intention to run for Bloomington mayor last month. Hamilton's administration has been criticized by Barge for the purchase of an armored car for area law enforcement and an attempt to annex areas of Monroe County into city limits. Annexation efforts were defeated by last-minute legislative additions to the state's budget in 2016. A lawsuit filed by the city of Bloomington listed Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb as a defendant. Last year, a judge overruled Holcomb's attempt to throw out the lawsuit, which claims the state overstepped its bounds by placing a moratorium on the Bloomington's annexation efforts. That lawsuit is ongoing. Hamilton's administration say they've placed an emphasis on affordable housing, developing downtown Bloomington, and increasing the economic opportunities available to residents. Earlier this year, Hamilton's administration announced the city is proceeding with plans to develop the Switchyard Park. More recently, the city opened the Dimension Mill, a tech incubator and centerpiece for the city's trades district. Hamilton will officially announce his re-election campaign at Monroe County Democratic headquarters tomorrow night.
Consultants from Clarion Associates presented their proposed changes last week for the third and final module of Bloomington's Unified Development Ordinance. The third UDO module addresses criteria, review, and adoption procedures for developments in the city's limits. Clarion's Donald Elliott presented an overview of the new Unified Development Ordinance in a public meeting on November 27th.
What is the UDO? UDO is the Unified Development Ordinance, and it's both zoning and subdivision. It regulates in Bloomington all of these things. What can you build and where can be located? What can you do in the building? How good does it have to be? How good looking does it have to be? How tall can it be? All of those issues. And then the procedures for zoning and subdivision review.
The main function of the UDO is to implement the City of Bloomington's comprehensive master plan. The plan is often referred to as the city's vision for itself. Elliott says it's important the UDO and the comprehensive plan work together.
We work in a number of jurisdictions where after they adopt the plan, they do not update the zoning ordinance, and then they wonder why nothing changes. Why didn't the type of development change? Why didn't the quality get better? Why didn't the affordability get better? Answer, because the plan can't make it happen alone. It has to happen through the processes.
In discussions with Bloomington's stakeholders, Elliott says Clarion Associates found there are issues beyond zoning that needed to be addressed.
Streamlining the development review procedures, clarifying what is good design, what is the level of design that is required and quality that's required, incentives. The city offers incentives for types of development it wants to encourage, But those incentives often take a long time to achieve. And so the question was, how can we make those more powerful and better aligned with the comprehensive plan? And finally, making it more user-friendly.
Clarion's Jim Sprung also says the consultancy focused on Bloomington's need for affordable and sustainable housing. He explained the need to build in incentives to help developers contribute to the city's affordable and sustainable development goals. Lowering review requirements is one proposed incentive.
One thing we've proposed in the draft here is that any petitions that qualify for affordable or sustainable are now reviewed under the minor site plan category. The minor site plan category is a much quicker process, and it has a lot more predictability in the end. It's important also to note that this is only for site plan review. So if a project needs a rezoning or a subdivision or a conditional use, those procedures would still apply. But if the property is already zoned for a project and it meets all the criteria in the code and it meets the height and the setback standards, then the minor site plan process would be how that's evaluated.
Sprung says new and old developments will still need to meet the height, density, and setback requirements of the city code, and planning officials would have discretion to elevate a minor site plan to major site plan status.
So if there's a complex, unique, or potentially serious impacts on the neighborhood, then the director can say, even though you qualify to be reviewed under the minor site plan process, I think it should be a major site plan and it should require planning commission review with a public hearing. And the director can do that at his or her discretion.
Other affordable housing incentives include allowing height and density bonuses. Developers could also receive height and density bonuses for using sustainable building practices. All three modules of the City of Bloomington's Unified Development Ordinance are available for review on the city's website, bloomington.in.gov. Elliott said the public review deadline is December 28th. City administrators anticipate the revised UDO will be ready for a review by the city's Plan Commission in April.
The Indiana Commission to Combat Drug Abuse's latest report says the state is doing better when it comes to opioid abuse. The commission found that the state saw a drop in the number of opioid painkillers prescribed in Indiana this year. The commission also reports a drop in the number of emergency room visits for drug overdoses. The commission, which was formed in 2016, is comprised of more than a dozen state officials in law enforcement, social services, public health, education, corrections, and in the state legislature. The commission shares information on the opioid crisis, best practices for treating substance abuse issues, and grant funding sources. No members of the Commission to Combat Drug Abuse have themselves been addicted to drugs. Jim McClelland is the executive director for drug prevention, treatment, and enforcement. He says Indiana has opened 19 new drug treatment centers over the past few years. The Indiana Business Journal reports that the state plans to open 9 more facilities next year. Indiana University Health launched a $50 million research effort on the opioid epidemic last year.
Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb directed flags across the state to be flown at half staff for 30 days in honor of former President George H.W. Bush. Holcomb's announcement came Saturday, hours after a family spokesman confirmed that Bush had died on Friday in Houston home at age 94.
The Indiana Supreme Court has launched a new website to help poor Indiana residents with navigating the legal system. IndianaLegalHelp.com was launched by the Coalition for Court Access, which was created by the Supreme Court in May of 2016. IndianaLegalHelp.com was reportedly founded to provide legal resources to Indiana residents of limited financial means to help them navigate family, housing, employment, and educational law services. The website provides contact information for legal service providers in each of Indiana's 92 counties. It also includes questions to ask when hiring a lawyer and fact sheets for family and civil law. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support for WFHB also comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington. Vox Booker led high-profile protests against the city's purchase of an armored police vehicle this year. The spokesperson for Bloomington's Black Lives Matter chapter, Booker draws upon his family's 150-year history in South Central Indiana, as well as his people's 400-year history in America, as inspiration to speak up whenever he sees injustice. Vox Booker joined host Michael Glab on this week's Big Talk. The conversation continues on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra.
I'm talking to you about the color of your skin. In fact, that's all we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Are you ever not a black man?
No. You know, we recently, BLM did the seat at the table, and there were some candidates who espoused some All Lives Matter rhetoric about how their position, we can look at the county clerk, that the county clerk, the Republican candidate said, race doesn't have anything to do with my role. When I go into the clerk's office or I go into the bank, I don't have a choice but to go in as a black man.
Huh.
White people don't often have to think about race.
Right.
When we say a person, white people automatically, you know, if you're reading about somebody in a book, unless it says that that person is a person of color, they see that person as a white person in their head. White is the default in all society.
So if I may, when you hear the words a person, what do you see in your mind?
Well, I'm a black child of the 80s. So
yeah.
Most of the indoctrination of my society has been that white is norm.
Yeah.
If we go back even farther, we see that there were lots of black folks, well, we can do it today, that think that blending into white society is the key to overcoming oppression, that we have to abandon our cultural identity, that we have to straighten our hair, that we have to assimilate. So when I first hear a person, sometimes my default is to think of a white person. But my conscious awareness, my experience, tells me to think otherwise.
Yeah.
But we start this with children so young in ways that folks don't think about.
Yeah.
If I ask you to hand me the fresh colored crayon in kindergarten, you're not going to hand me the brown marker.
Right. This almost oppressive kind of thought just seeps into our minds. So you have to think twice. You have to think three times, four times to think the way you want.
You do. It's a conscious effort. It's an awakening. And that's why the term woke, you know, kind of came about was that you have to raise your awareness above the sleeping state that is America.
You worked for Centerstone. How long back was that?
I think I left Centerstone at the beginning of 2015. So what I did for Centerstone was I was a rehabilitation specialist for the ACT team. I did a couple of different jobs, but one of the main ones was the rehabilitation specialist. ACT team stands for sort of community treatment. It's kind of the state's most stringent model outside of inpatient facilities. I dealt with co-occurring mental illness and addictions, and often those folks were experiencing homelessness.
Wow, that's got to be a tough job.
It was a tough job, but I maintained a 100% housing rate, so I'm proud of it.
Did it burn you out?
You know, a lot of folks say that, because I was also a live-in employee for Centerstone, so I was an on-call employee, so I kind of lived, ate, and breathed Centerstone. I have this capacity sometimes that comes from, I guess, from my family, that I can be at home in the midst of the storm. So I didn't feel burned out. But most folks, it's a often thankless job. If you do it well, nothing goes wrong. If you don't do it exceedingly well, you hear about what goes bad.
Yeah.
If you encounter a mental health care worker, make sure that you express your appreciation to them.
What are you doing these days?
I'm a certified nursing assistant. It was an easy job for me to take. There was always a demand for healthcare. BLM was active this year, and I needed to take a job that was less public interaction.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm a CNA. I'm ready to branch out into a new career or get back into an old career. So I'll be holding my options open and looking for the best fit and where I can be of the most service in our community.
Are we talking about a midlife crisis already?
I was going to say, midlife is approaching, but I'm not quite there yet. No, I think it's a midlife me finding my purpose.
I notice you play or like to play trivia.
I do. It goes back to my father. My father is a crossword puzzle guy. So my whole life I've been peppered with whether it be spelling questions or questions about, you know, the Greek gods, the, you know, Hellenistic religion there. So it's kind of a passion of mine. My aunt likes to call me a fountain of useless information. So trivia is something that I enjoy.
Was there college involved?
I went to Ivy Tech for a while. I never finished. While I was there, I had the pleasure of sitting on the diversity committee as the only student. Life has been a series of education for me, and not only about lived experience, but about continuing my personal education, about reading. There's a quote that education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. And I've tried to live my life that way. Malcolm X had a quote that his alma mater is books, and I feel the same way.
Vox, are you a happy guy?
Am I happy? My happiness abounds. At the same time, you need to understand that happiness is not a constant state.
Yeah.
That happiness is to be experienced in moments. So my happiness is balanced out by my empathy, my concern for others. And the thing that makes me happy is service to my people.
When you were working at Centerstone, what did you learn to help you grow?
Every behavior is an attempt to meet a need. So when someone, and not just mental health, whether it be a child or whether it be someone with dementia, everything that we do is an attempt to meet some need in our life. And often the way to go about things is to, rather than to punish the behavior, is to look at the underlying need that's not being met.
Yeah. What are you learning recently?
What am I learning recently? I'm learning the political game.
What do you mean?
We just had an election. I saw folks mobilize, support candidates, knock on thousands of doors, hope and dream of a better America. And I'm motivated. I want to see that momentum continue to grow. I want to see that our community continues to promote and amplify people of color who are running for office. I want to see the status quo challenged. I want us to think of new innovative ways to help the most marginalized people in our community.
If you were to plan out your life for the next 15, 20 years, what would you do?
It's a long time. I think my next thing is to, I want to continue to be an activist. That's a hat that I feel like I was born into, and it's a duty and a privilege. And often a weight, but it's a weight that I feel like my shoulders are broad enough to wear. I want to go ahead and enter the political arena. I'm going to launch an exploratory commission to look into running for city council.
You?
Yes, city council at large.
That was Vox Booker speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
My name is Jim Rusi. I am a member of the First Presbyterian Church here in Bloomington, and we volunteer for the Area 10 Agency on Aging Food Pantry Program. We determined that we wanted to have a partnership with a local agency to do mission work in the community, and we wanted to do it in such a way that our members would be actively involved rather than writing checks, and ultimately chose the Area 10 Food Pantry Program as our project. Lou Moyer and I agreed to be the initial leaders to organize the program for the First Presbyterian Church. We've now been doing it for 14 years. It's a family ethic where we believe that we should give back to our community, and just coincidentally, the Area 10 project fit real well the time I was looking for additional project. And my mother's won numerous awards for her involvement in over her life. She's 100 years old now, by the way, and for her involvement in her community for a lifetime of sharing and giving all kinds of different organizations. My mother actually started a routine of giving Christmas gifts to each one of the grandchildren of a certain dollar amount, and her only condition for using it was that it had to be used to help somebody who needed help. The constituency for the Area 10 are seniors who are low-income seniors, often homebound seniors, have frequently no method of transportation, so they're very limited and have to live pretty much in their apartment or their residence. Their source of income may be Social Security only. So they don't have enough money and the ability to get additional foods besides some limited amounts from their Social Security check. So this has given us the opportunity to supplement what they have themselves with two bags of groceries per month. Plus, they don't have to go get it as we deliver it to their place of residence. Right now, we have 27 active volunteers. We deliver 8 routes, which approximately 40 people. The low-income seniors sometimes are off of the radar screen for a lot of people, I think. And so it's giving me an opportunity to learn what it's like for them to live in this level of poverty they live in, and maybe even the day-to-day type of life they have to live in their circumstances. It's given me some, obviously, a feeling of gratitude for what maybe some of the rest of us have that they don't have. But it's also giving a feeling of compassion for people who really do struggle to meet everyday needs that a lot of us take for granted. First Presbyterian is a downtown church, and years ago the church had a conversation about should we build a new church and move to somewhere outside the edge of town, and the church made a conscious decision to stay where we were because feel like our church facility, being a downtown church, is also a mission in the community, and we have church members of the community and different groups who hold meetings in our church because of its availability. We for years had a Saturday morning breakfast program for the homeless because it was a very good access for people who are in a homeless situation. So we feel like our church has a long time mission to do these types of things, and we have dedicated our facility and have remained in the downtown area so that we can maybe serve people who might not have access to a facility someplace else. Thanks for listening today. My name is Jim Rusi. I'm a member of the First Presbyterian Church here in Bloomington, and this segment has been about our relationship with the Area 10 Food Pantry Program, giving back to the community.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Sarah Vaughn in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumstein, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wager-Miller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thank you for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. That's coming up next, right here on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@WFHB.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.